So, who wants to move to New York after seeing that video? It really sells an appealing lifestyle, doesn't it? It tells us that there's everything we could possibly want, from schools to restaurants to peace and quiet in the middle of one of the world's busiest cities. It sounds great, doesn't it? It really does appeal to us. But if it doesn't appeal to you, I want to ask you, what would your dream lifestyle be? What does it look like? What features in your dream lifestyle? Maybe it's that dream house or dream car, the perfect school or university for the children, the perfect children or grandchildren, the perfect holidays, the perfect relationships, the perfect job, the perfect sporting ability, the perfect, you name it, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can think of many things right now that you would love to add to your dream lifestyle. What lifestyle do you aspire to? I know on the free-to-air TV channel, 9 Life, it's the lifestyle channel. On there, there's a show and there's a real estate agent who sells multi-million dollar properties. And now his catchphrase is, I don't just sell real estate, but I sell a lifestyle. Are you getting a picture of what's going on here? We're constantly told from many different places and people, add this to your lifestyle. Add these things and it will get better to you. You will feel more fulfilled if you just have this or do this. We just saw in that promo video that if you move to New York, your dreams will be fulfilled and you can achieve anything. Messages like this are surrounding us, telling us how we are to live our lives. And they do this because they believe that their product or their idea will lead to you having a fulfilled life. These messages tell you that this is the lifestyle you want. But all they really do is help pay for the lifestyle of the person who's selling you the product or idea. See, today, as we start our short series in the book of 2 Peter, we will see that today's passage is all about lifestyle. It is how we are to live our lives in light of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and what he will do for us when he returns. It's all about focusing on the hope that we have as we live our lives in the here and now with our eternity in mind. If you're a Christian here today, you can see from the opening verse in 2 Peter that this letter was originally written to Christians. As Peter writes, to those who, through the righteousness of God and Saviour Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. For those of us who've received faith in God through our Saviour Jesus Christ, this short little letter is full of practical knowledge for us to live a lifestyle that honours God. And if that's not you, and you're with us today, you will see from this passage that Christianity isn't some cleverly devised story, but rather it is the truth. So let's get into it. Let's look at the Christian lifestyle. In verse 2, as Peter writes, as he writes this letter, he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So there's two key words I want you to focus on in this passage, grace and peace. What are they and what do they look like? See, grace is unmerited favour. It's getting something you don't deserve. In our case as Christians, we receive God's gracious act of saving us. See, we aren't saved because of who we are, but rather we're saved because God graciously chose to save us. We didn't deserve it. And then there's peace. What does peace look like? On that video, they tried to illustrate for us what peace looks like, even in the heart of New York City. Not a person in sight in a tranquil garden. Is this what you think of when you think of peace? Or perhaps a better idea is when the war is over and peace is declared. You are no longer enemies. I think this is more like what peace looks like. See, when God shows us his grace, that's what peace looks like. When no longer people are at war with God, but they are now friends with God. See, we are his people. And the way that we come to know true grace and peace is through knowledge of God. Now, there are many ways we can receive knowledge of God. Perhaps hearing someone talk about God, or perhaps reading the Bible, which reveals God to us. Either way, we can only know true grace and true peace through the knowledge of God. Then once we have this knowledge, it will lead us to living a lifestyle. When we know God, it changes everything, even our lifestyle. Have a look at verse 3 with me. It says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." So if you have knowledge of God who called you by his own glory and goodness, if you are a Christian, we have been given everything we need to live a godly lifestyle, the Christian lifestyle. See, this Christian lifestyle will produce, it must produce, godliness. By God's divine power working in us, it will lead to living the godly lifestyle. But it's still a struggle for us, isn't it? We will continue to want the lifestyle that gives us everything that video promises. This is the battle we are fighting. The idea that the video gives us is the wrong idea. This is the wrong lifestyle. But the good news is God's power gives us the ability to live the Christian lifestyle. That is why we want to know God deeply, intimately. As Christians, we should want to know God. We want to grow in our knowledge of God as part of living the Christian lifestyle. This is the right lifestyle. This is the lifestyle that we should pursue. Have a look at verse 4 with me. It sets up the two lifestyles that are at odds with each other. The Christian lifestyle, where we see at the start, and the corrupt worldly lifestyle. Verse 4, it says, "Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature." So God has given us these very great and precious promises, the promises we have in Jesus Christ. And we know about these promises from God's word. And that's why we value the Bible so much. But look at the second half of verse 4. What are we told? It says, "Having escaped the corruption in the worldly caused by evil desires. It's like Peter's showing us, why would you go back to that terrible lifestyle once you've got out? It's like a reformed drug addict going back to their old lifestyle. They give in to the pull of the old lifestyle, even though they know deep down it's the wrong lifestyle, and they know it will destroy them. They give in because it's the easier option. So we see the power God gives us through knowledge of his glory and goodness. Through this, we are made aware of his great promises, which enable us to share in his divine nature and pursue the godly lifestyle rather than a worldly one. So what does the Christian lifestyle look like? Let's look at the attractiveness of the Christian lifestyle in verses 5 to 11. Verse 5, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith." And then Peter lists off a group of virtues or practices that we can grow in. Now, this doesn't mean we're saved by our works, but rather we're saved through faith alone. But in light of being saved, we are to live a certain way. We're to put these things into practice, as Peter lists. See, as Christians, we're saved from something, from our sin, from the punishment it deserves, and we're saved to something, to be a part of God's people, to live as God's people. So because we've been saved by faith, we're not just to stop there, but we are to live a lifestyle of faith. And as we do this, we must make every effort to live the Christian lifestyle. And for you, this lifestyle looks like making every effort to do the things that Peter lists off in verses 5 to 6. This looks like you producing godliness, you making every effort to grow in the knowledge of who God is, you making every effort in being self-controlled, you making every effort to persevere, you making every effort to grow in godliness, you making every effort in growing and expressing mutual affection for one another by growing in how you love each other. We can only do this through the power of God working through us. See, I find this incredibly challenging. It was incredibly challenging to me as I read it. And I hope you find this incredibly challenging, because there's no way we can water this down. This is what the Christian lifestyle looks like. It's a lot different to that video, isn't it? And I think for all of us, we can see it is different, but it is how we are to live in the here and now. But don't give up. Pursue the Christian lifestyle. The Christian lifestyle is a countercultural lifestyle. When the world says add another car, the Bible tells us to add goodness. When the world says grow up your investments to shore up your super, to better your chances of a secure future, the Bible says grow in your knowledge to shore up your faith, because you know your future is secure. See the difference? See, we possess and grow in these qualities. When we do that, they help us from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of Jesus. They help us bear fruit for God's kingdom rather than for any worldly kingdom. Otherwise, you might be a Christian who has knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do absolutely nothing with it. Even more scary, you may not even be a Christian. You might have just conned yourself into thinking that you're a Christian. That is a scary place to be. Now, if you feel as though you are a Christian, but you feel that in the past you have been ineffective and unproductive, in a few minutes we'll talk about how today can be a life-changing moment for you. A lifestyle-changing moment. But if you're trying to look for some middle ground, I suggest that you most likely desire a life that reflects the unproductive Christian. But let me point out, Peter writes this about those who claim Christianity but don't live the Christian lifestyle. He says, "But whoever does not have them," them being the qualities that Peter listed, "is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past sins." Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But it isn't. Peter here is being firm but fair. He is being an Aussie and just saying it like it is. He's pointing out that you have everything you need to live the Christian lifestyle, and you still can't see that you are living a lifestyle that is opposite. It's like giving a teenage boy the dishwashing liquid, the water, the sink, the brush, the dirty dishes to wash up. The teenage boy has everything he needs to complete the task, but somehow all he thinks of is how he can do the bare minimum and make very little effort to do the dishes, not caring about the end goal. He doesn't care if they're clean or not. He doesn't really believe that the end goal is worth it. He has already forgotten that someone has graciously cooked him a meal. As a result of his forgetfulness, he is ineffective and unproductive. I see parents jabbing their kids in the ribs. Stop it. He just doesn't care. He knows deep down that he should make every effort to do the dishes well, but he really just doesn't care. So please, please don't live your life like that hypothetical teenage boy. Because I'm sure all the teenage boys do a good job here, right? Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. If you do the things Peter urges you to do, you will not stumble. If you focus on the end goal, you will do these things. If your end goal is the eternal kingdom of the Lord, you will grow the eternal kingdom now. You won't be like that teenage boy who has everything but does nothing with it, or looks to do the absolute bare minimum, because you know you have been given everything you need to live the Christian lifestyle now. So don't be like that unmotivated teenage boy. But then, what motivation do we have to live the Christian lifestyle? In verse 12, we see Peter give us motivation. Have a look at verse 12 with me. So I will always remind you of these things. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of the body. Peter is motivating Christians like a good speaker does at the halftime break of a football game, something New South Wales was clearly lacking on Wednesday night. He's getting them to focus on the end goal. The end goal in football is winning. And in Christianity, the end goal is to be with God in glory, in heaven. Peter is telling Christians, or the football team, to focus on what they're doing now with the end goal in mind. The only difference is that if you trust in Jesus, the game is already won, so to speak. Almost, but not quite, if you follow Queensland. But still, we focus on making every effort to confirm our calling as we grow in goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and we grow in love. Like a good football team focuses on passing and kicking and tackling, they focus on these disciplines because this is the lifestyle of a footballer. Just as Christians focus on the things Peter lists out because that is the lifestyle of a Christian. But like a coach giving a half-time speech to motivate his players, Peter knows he has limited time to get his point across. Peter's in a similar sort of situation. Peter knows his time is up. He knows he doesn't have much time left before he himself is crucified. But he knows that living the Christian lifestyle is hard. He knows Christians need to be reminded to stay focused. He knows Christians need reminding that they are saved and their eternity is secure. And he knows Christians need to live their lives with this in mind. Peter lived with the end in mind. He lived the Christian lifestyle. In verse 16, Peter reminds us one last time that he's not putting his life on the line for something that he just made up with the other apostles. He's putting his life on the line for the truth. He is putting his life on the line because he knows the truth about Jesus. He knows that sinners can be saved through Jesus once and for all. He knows that Jesus is the only way to be made right with God. He even recalls specific events when Jesus was baptized. He was there. It's like he's saying, hey guys, I'm not making it up. Why would I when I'm about to be crucified upside down? I'm not here for a haircut. I'm going to be killed for living the Christian lifestyle. But it's important that you realize that I'm not living this lifestyle on a hunch.
This is the real deal. This is the truth. Living the Christian lifestyle is worth it because of the end goal. So stay focused on the end goal as you live the Christian lifestyle. So today, as we think about what the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write to a group of Christians, it is always good to think, how does this passage change the way I live? How does this change my lifestyle? For some of you here today, you need to start trusting in Jesus for the first time, trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and start your journey living the Christian lifestyle. For some of you, you will walk out of here today completely unchanged by God's word here in 2 Peter 1. Please, please don't be that person that walks out of here nearsighted and blind. This is a dangerous lifestyle to live. Don't be ineffective and unproductive. That would be a tragedy. Now, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, 2 Peter 1 is that good half-time speech. It is that firm but fair message we need to hear to inspire us to keep living the Christian lifestyle, to remind us that this isn't a hunch, but it is the truth. To remind us that the end goal is worth the journey. The end goal of living the Christian lifestyle is the gateway to paradise. Like that video we saw at the start about that apartment complex being the gateway to the paradise. We know the true gateway to paradise through the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. We know he is our hope for eternity. So that is why we try to live the Christian lifestyle. We can be confident that we have been given everything in Jesus to live this godly life. And as Christians, we have everything we need to live the Christian lifestyle. So let me remind you to grow in goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and in love. Now, I know that for some of you here face hard circumstances that make it harder for you than others. Trust me, I know. My wife, Rach, has had 10 medical procedures in the last 2 years. So sometimes it is tough to get to Growth Group to serve. But here at ARPC, we want to be able to encourage you to live the Christian lifestyle in your current circumstances. And we know that this means it will look different for different people. So today, be real with yourself. Are you living the Christian lifestyle? What lifestyle choices do you need to make to ensure that you do live the Christian lifestyle? Today, how do you be real about your circumstances, but also live a lifestyle that reflects growing goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love? Today, let's be real and let's talk with each other straight after service about how we live the Christian lifestyle and encourage each other to live the Christian lifestyle. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the firm but fair message that Peter gives us, that he gave those Christians all those years ago. Lord, we just pray that you help us live that Christian lifestyle. Help us grow in those virtues, in those practices that Peter listed out. Lord, we pray that you help us live the Christian lifestyle so that others may see you in how we live, that others may hear our words, that we can proclaim the truth about Jesus to others so that they too can know the eternal hope in you and that they too can join us as we live the Christian lifestyle. Lord, we pray that we don't put this off, that we don't be ineffective and unproductive, that we don't be nearsighted and blind, that we serve you, that we live for you wholeheartedly in amidst our circumstances, that we look for ways to live the Christian lifestyle rather than ways that we can make excuses not to. Lord, we pray you change our hearts because you know we all struggle. And we pray that you help us focus on the end goal and being in eternity with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.